Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace. Hello. Last week I began a message on Lordship. And I fully intended on completing that message, but time escaped. And so I chose to stop, but I emphasize the fact that you need to be here next week to hear the rest of the message. And when we gave the message on Sunday morning, we had technical difficulties, and we had visual but no sound. And so we're doing a little different format this day and trying to recapture as much as possible just the message itself and the emphasis on the Word, because I do think it is probably one of the most important messages that a believer in Jesus Christ needs to hear. It began last week with a key verse in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. And although I believe in God's Word, Genesis to Revelation, I've also come to understand that its power is activated in application, not just in theory, not just in reading God's Word, which is important, but acting upon God's Word as well. The other key verse that I shared last week was 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And there are times in our lives when we can Christianize our statements, sometimes like coded messages to the world. But what does it mean? I'll pray for you. You'll pray sometime, you'll pray when you think about it, or you'll pray when it's right. I've found it best to follow up with, let me pray for you right now. And I've chosen to do that consciously because I want the person to be blessed at that moment, to know that I'm praying with them about the situation at that time. And I do that whether I'm in person or if I'm talking with someone, a friend of mine that's states away and just needs an encouraging word of prayer. In wanting to lay the foundation of how do we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and to walk by faith and not by sight, I felt it appropriate to use our family as a practical illustration. And I felt so strongly about that I sent out 28 DVDs to people that would normally be in our service that were missing for some reason that week, because I didn't want to lay that foundation again. And that said, I do want to state a couple of things up front. In hearing that message, a lot of the people in our church were confused, thinking that possibly I was setting them up for resignation, which is not the case. The stories about our journey were not to have you focus in on us, but what God was doing through us to cause us to walk by faith and not by sight. This is a message about Lordship. This explores Jesus' statement in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? As I said before, I believe this message is vital because Lordship is the most important ship of all. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this time, even this time, to come under your care, to come under your guidance as we seek to explore your word and to take the truths that are there and to magnify it, to apply it to our lives, that you might be glorified in us and that we might be used by you for the greater purposes of kingdom building. So, Father, bless this time, we ask now, in your Son's precious name. Amen. Christ calls us to walk by faith and not by sight, but not by sight under the Lordship of Christ. He doesn't call us to go blindly, but trusting Him that He is leading us. And I believe there's a difference between Lord and Savior. We sometimes run them together, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Savior is one who saved us from our sins as we put our faith in Christ. But Lord is choosing to follow Him in everything. And when we do that, there are three simple, powerful truths when we make Him Lord of our lives. The first is this, that God has a plan. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13, one of my favorite verses. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. The part that really strikes me in that short little couple of verses is that, for I, the Lord, knows the plans he has for me, for Gary, for my wife and I, for our family, for this church, for you, for your family, your goals, your dreams, your hopes. He has a plan. And he wants us to come and to seek him for that plan, because God's plan is the best plan. I can have my plans, and God will not necessarily stop me from those plans, but they won't be the best plans. They'll always be plan B, unless I'm seeking plan A, which is God's plan. Some of you probably have a hard time believing God has a plan for your life. You've had a hard time in relationships because you haven't put him Lord over your relationships. You struggle in your finances because you haven't made him Lord of your finances. And there's clear scriptural guidance in regards to finances. You struggle in your work because you've not made him Lord of your work. And the Bible says do everything as unto the Lord, no matter what it is. And because God is not a respecter of persons, he doesn't hold the CEO of a company any higher than he does the person working in the mailroom, floors and floors below the penthouse. You struggle in your emotions because you haven't made him Lord over your emotions. And sometimes emotions can rip us and tear us apart unless we center ourselves in Christ. You can struggle in bad decision-making because you haven't involved him as Lord in your decision-making. God, what is your plan? What do you want us to do? And I've had a lot of discussions with people about this because I can tell them, I don't know, but God does, and let's seek him. And we'll know by that peace he gives to us as far as what that answer should be. And I could go on in different situations. Maybe you don't believe in God's word. Maybe you don't believe that he has a plan. But maybe you just don't trust God's word that he has a plan for you. But the truth is that God has a plan. He tells us so. God has a plan because God has a purpose. In Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes all things, that's an inclusive statement, all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Everything, the verse in Jeremiah, the verse here that Paul gives us in Romans, is centered in God. I have a plan and I have a purpose. I have a purpose for everything that takes place, and sometimes we just need to trust God for that purpose as well. God's ways are not our ways. They're just not. And it's hard for a finite mind to grasp an infinite mind and to make sense of it. And I think a lot of things that God gives us in his word are to cause us to struggle a bit and to wrestle with it. Iron sharpens iron, the Bible talks about, because we're called to really wrestle with these things and try to understand. But we're never going to fully understand. But it doesn't mean we need to or shouldn't give up as well of trying to find out. Career and performing was very costly for me, but it was the plan that I had that I sought to do for 20 years. A lot of changes, a lot of choices, and I look back, they weren't evil choices, but they weren't necessarily God's choices. And God one day asked me to give it up. It's hard to walk by faith and not by sight. When you've done something for 20 years and it's the only livelihood that you've known, you know, but it's very clear that God's called you to walk away, you have to trust in that. You don't have a visual around the curves and the corners, and so you have to trust that there's a plan. I remember that transition time back in the early 1990s. It was tough. It was hard. A lot of times I had tears not knowing what God's plan was, not knowing what I left for what God would have for me to do, because I didn't ever think about ministry. There have been too many challenges in my life to even consider that. But I did decide to follow God. In ministry, I've learned that the missteps in my life can be used to encourage others. That God doesn't take perfect people. He takes a perfect plan and uses imperfect people for that perfect plan. We are not perfect, and it's our job to direct people to the one who is. We don't ever cause people to focus in on us, but we do call them to focus in on him. And that's key. I heard James Dobson one time say, he's a founder of Focus on the Family. He said, he made the statement that just struck me and it's locked in. He said, to do as I say, not as I do, is a hypocrite. But to say, do as I say, not as I did, is a teacher. And I, in my ministry and what God's called me to do, I use my life, my mistakes in my life, as a teaching tool to encourage others. That although we make mistakes, God doesn't cast us to the side and say that we're no longer useful, but we can use those mistakes to come alongside other people. Some of you don't really trust God in your finances. I know, because I used to be just like you. I used to have the theory in church, get in, get out, nobody gets hurt. The joke is that the pocketbook is the last thing to arrive and the first thing to leave in a church. God has clear encouragements in our finances and our stewardship, because we realize as in believers in Christ that it's not ours anyway, it's God. And the revelation should be not that God calls us and asks a tithe of us so that we can support the ministry of the church, but that we get to keep 90% for all the things that God has for us and the obligations that we have. I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on you in any way. I'm trying to wake you up, just like Harold Nichols did to me a number of years ago when I heard him speak in a men's conference in Reno, Nevada. And he said some things about lordship that just struck me. And it was like a light illumination coming on that I'd call him Savior, but I really had not made him Lord. And I made that choice in that day to firmly commit to tithing all that I would receive in. Which meant, though, in weeks when I didn't have an income, I was not expected to give. Because God calls to give from what you have, not from what you don't have. And there's a clear passage at the end of the Old Testament in Malachi. In Malachi chapter 3, just before Matthew. Malachi is a minor prophet, very short, four chapters. In chapter 3, verse 6, he says this. It says, "For I, the Lord, do not change, therefore you, or sons of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." You see, God calls the tithe to be brought into the church. It is the way the church is able to sustain itself. It pays for the mortgage, for the electricity. It pays for ministry. It pays for those things. It also allows us to help people within the church as well. But we think we'd rather tip God than tithe to God. And because of that, a lot of times we struggle. You think because you don't get a reminder letter from God that he's not paying attention. If it's not a letter that's in red saying you're behind or you're due, that God doesn't really care, and that's not the truth. He allows you that freedom so that you willingly come and share. God's word says that you will be held accountable just as I will be held accountable. Now, I couldn't go back with all my past and make up that amount. That's not the choice, but I made a decision that day. From that day forward, I was going to choose to make him Lord of my finances, and that's a decision that has never wavered in over 20 years. And I married 20 years ago a wonderful woman that had that same conviction as I had. And even though things have been tough at times, I mean very tough at times, we've never wavered from giving to God, because that was not an out that God has given us. In fact, God says in Malachi here, test me now in this. And it's one of the few times in Scripture that God says, test me. You know, a lot of times we are to have faith and trust, but here he says, test me in this and see if I don't open the floodgates of heaven for you. And then that's not necessarily a monetary flooding that takes place, but sometimes it's a clear conscience of knowing that we're not robbing God. Sometimes it's just the peace of knowing that we are trusting him in everything and waiting for him to make the moves and the decisions in our lives to provide for as he desires to. So don't take that as a monetary health, wealth, gospel type of teaching, because it's not. It is just a fact of God's word that we're called to believe in him and to follow his plans and how he's laid them out for his followers. Pastors also are not immune or exempt from that. Our pastoral staff here at Grace tithe. In fact, we looked at it as an important maturity point in leadership, and because we need to know that we're following God fully and not pulling back or resting back to protect ourselves or to store for a rainy day. Just like the conversation with my mom that I had some years ago when she asked me at that point with Harold Nichols' message, and I said, I'm going to tithe no matter what. And she said, how can you afford to? And I said, Mom, how can I afford not to? It was a decision of my heart and mind to make him Lord in my finances. Most importantly, remember this, that God has the power. God has a plan, God has a purpose, and God has the power. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20 is a very important part of Scripture. And we often read 19 and 20, the Great Commission, but verse 18 is important as well because it's after the It's after the resurrection. It's after the 40 days in which Jesus walked upon the earth. It's just prior to the ascension. And he says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That one verse is powerful in our lives because it shows who has the power, and the power has been given to Jesus. And then he says, therefore, go into all the world, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. But that he can do that because he has the power then to direct his followers to go out into the world to make a difference. As I see it, some people expect to talk to the Lord on the Lord's day in the Lord's house when they haven't talked to him all week long. They reserve that one special time to talk to God, and they ignore him 6 days of the week. If that describes you, then you're not tapping into the power that God has ready for you in your life, available to you. We are where we are in this church because of the power of God. This church was started in our home, not as a Bible study, but as a church service. And the service that we held in our home in Burton is very much the same that we do now. We had a time of a song, an opening song. We had a time of greeting and of one another, and the worship time, the receiving of the offering, of taking communion, the message, the invitation, and then the closure. And then a time of fellowship. Then our church, people don't at the end bolt out. We have coffee and baked goods and juice, and people stand around for a good deal of time just talking and get to know each other. God has brought great power in this place, and although we've seen a lot of changes, but the power to move from our house into Van Wyk Elementary School for a year and a half, and then to be able to get this building and transform it and grow. I see that all as being God's power, not us, because we're just following the one we put our faith into. We're following his lordship. And we just completed the task of renovation, which took a few years to complete all the inside, but then the outside as well, and to be a good example to the neighborhood that first impressions and are important to draw them on the inside where they can sense God's love and joy in here. We do this because God is at the center of everything that we do. I want to close with a couple of thoughts for you. Wherever you are in your life, whatever stage that you're in, you know, we are always called to be learners and growers in Christ. Nothing can be accomplished of lasting value without his power behind it. And I believe that with all my heart. Everything that has been important or of great significance is because God's at the center of it. We can tend to venture too far out on our own, searching for our own solution, creating our own answer to problems, and then we want God to bless it. Saints, that's backwards. If you're a believer in Christ, go to God first. Get his wisdom, get his plan, his purpose, and then under his power can be accomplished. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. A lofty ideal? Maybe. But Jesus is the Lord who says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, never will I go ahead of you, never will I leave you behind. He is there every step of the way. He is the only one that sees us through this life adventure and see that it's blessed. Not necessarily in the world's view of blessing, but in his, so that he is able to say at the end, well done, good and faithful servant. Lordship impacts your life like nothing else does, because it is centered in Christ. It's centered in him. He's the center of stewardship. He's the center of worship. He's the center of fellowship. And he's the anchor in lordship. And without lordship, none of the other ships can stay afloat. How do I know? I know because God says he has a plan for every believer, everyone that calls him. That's exclusive. It's a part of a relationship with a child, with their father, their heavenly father. God has a purpose. He has a purpose for your growth and that which will bring him glory. Sometimes it's a stretching time. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. But he'll always see us through it. And God has the power. God has the power to see you through each and every day and each and every step. And only God and God alone has that authority. I want to share with you a song that I think brings it all home. Also important, our focus, and our focus in him. God and God alone created all the things we call unknown, all the best and worst of man won't change the master's plan. It's God's and God's alone. God and God alone reveals the truth of all we call unknown, from the mighty to the small, the glory in them all is God's and God's alone. God and God alone is fit to take the universe's throne. Let everything that lives reserve his truest praise. For God and God alone. God and God alone will be the joy of our eternal home. He will be our one desire. Our hearts will never tire of God and God alone. God and God alone is fit to take the universe's throne. Let everything that lives reserve as true his praise. For God and God alone. Let everything that lives reserve as true as praise. For God and God alone. God, to you and you alone go our praise. May you be the center of all efforts made by your people here on earth. May our focus be on the kingdom building, things that will bring you glory and honor forever and ever. And Father, especially in these times, may you strengthen your church. May you reach out and grab those who need to know you. And may, as they come, discover you in places like this, in churches not only in this city, this state, this country, but around the world, that people might see you for who you are. And we thank you for this time, and we praise you in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.